This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Health and Living segment today. And today we're going to be discussing the link between your weight and your musculoskeletal system. Dr. Lok Yan Hui is a consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center. She's going to be on the air and she's going to help answer some of your questions. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lok. How are you today?
Hi, Meera. I'm fine. Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. You know, our musculoskeletal system bears the weight of our body. So if we are carrying excess body weight, it affects our joints, our bones, our soft tissues, as well as we are also stand a higher risk of injuries. So can you help us understand how the musculoskeletal system actually bears the body's weight? What actually is going on?
All right. Our musculoskeletal system, as how it's described, muscle and skeleton, meaning to say that it's made up of bones, muscle, joint, tendon, ligament, cartilage, and all that with, together with other connective tissue, it supports and binds the tissue and organs together. So what does it do? It helps us to move, serve as attachment of the muscle, and help us to move and also protect the vital organs. So to summarize, we actually have more than 206 bones, or 600 muscles, 4,000 tendons, 900 ligaments, 150 bursa, and 360 joints. So it's a very, very complex system, and it bears weight of our body, and it's very interesting to actually study in detail how it works. And I know every single step that we actually make, how much weight is actually transferred from your body weight directly to your joint. Okay. And when you have no problem, you actually will not, you know, go and see a doctor. But when you have problem, then the doctor will actually find out where does the pain come from.
Okay. So when we talk about weight, what exactly are we talking about? Because I'm sure the musculoskeletal system has weight of its own, right? That is something that's there. And then there are the add-ons, right? So what is optimal body weight for our respective musculoskeletal systems? I mean, is body mass index a good indication, for an example?
All right. When we talk about weight, everybody will go to the bathroom scale, stand on the scale, and they weigh themselves every day. Today I'm 50, tomorrow I'm 51, and the next day I'm 49. So what does it mean?
Yeah.
Okay. It just means that there is your body weight, but what does it compose of? Okay. It composed of muscle, water, fat, your bone, and the fat include your visceral fat and also your subcutaneous fat. So if you stand on the weighing scale and you will be wondering, oh, I gain weight, you know, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. So how do we, you know, get to know what actually contribute and what do you want? Actually, what we want is reduce fat, increase muscle, increase the water content, and maintain the bone density. Okay. Bone density is something that will peak during the third and fourth decade, about 30 to 40 years old. And in children, we start to, you know, intake a lot of calcium and very good nutrition. But by the time you're 30, 40, you cannot store anymore. You can only use it. So meaning to say, it's something like your bank account. Like, you know, you work very hard at 40 years old, you are not working anymore. You are depending on how much minerals you have in the bone to support the rest of your body.
Okay. And so what are you saying? So I don't bother stepping on the scale anymore, since you've said that's not the best indicator. So what, how do I know then? Because, you know, the reason I'm asking you is because, you know, I had one conversation with an expert once, and he said for every kilogram of excess weight that you have, there is a 7 times burden on your hips and your knees, for an example.
All right.
Is that accurate? And what is excess weight?
All right. Okay. So what is ideal body weight? Ideal body weight is something that is what do you think your ideal body weight is? Your ideal body weight could be an actress or a TV presenter or, you know, someone that you actually are ideal to have. But an ideal body weight is actually more visual appeal. And it was the ideal body weight was initially introduced by medicine to calculate the dosage for individual. For example, a 10 kg kid and a 50 kg man and a 100 kg man, the medicine delivery should be different. But then there is no perfect measurement, but WHO, World Health Organization, actually used body mass index, we call BMI, to categorize a person, to group them into underweight, normal weight, obese, So how does it work? Let's say if, how do you calculate the body mass index is, let's say if you are 50 kilo, so you take 50 and divide into your height in meter. Let's say if I'm 1.57, then it's 1.57 times 1.57 if I'm 45. So I divide. So my reading is 18. Okay, what does this 18 mean? Okay, according to WHO, less than 18.5 is underweight. So does it mean to say that I am underweight? Yes, I'm underweight according to WHO. Okay, but the other category is 18.5 to 24.9 is actually a normal weight. 25 to 29.9 is overweight. The moment you are more than 30, you're obese. Okay, but this is something to act as a reference. You don't use it to decide on some management. But obviously, those people who is more than 30, we categorize them to obesity, and they will have a lot of other problems in terms of, you know, and have to go through surgery. So the risk of surgery will be very high. Okay, but you can be underweight, but you're perfectly healthy. You can be overweight, like athletes, you know, the weight that carries in their body is muscle weight as compared to a 50 kg person, which majority of the body component is actually fat. So what I want to emphasize is actually the quality of your weight is actually more important.
That's interesting. The quality of your weight. Never heard that one before. So ideally, so it's much more than the BMI then. You need to look
correct.
At how much of it
correct.
Is fat, how much of it is muscle, how much of it water, and how do you maintain that bone density, right, at healthy
correct.
Levels. So
correct.
You need that breakdown
correct.
As well. So when correct. You are, let's just say, okay, if you're normal weight, I'm going to assume that the body, you know, it's not a burden on the musculoskeletal system. Let's just now say you're overweight or obese, right? What is the effect of excess body weight like that on the bones, on the joints, and even the soft tissues?
All right. Okay. I'm giving you probably an example so it's easier to understand. When we walk, every single step that we put on our knee is about 1.5 times your body weight. That is a normal ground walking. That means you are not inclining. You are not going up and down steps. But if you are going up and down steps, you are going hiking. The force that you actually put on your body and your knee is 3 times body weight. And if today you decide to run and jump, the impact that you put on your knee is 5 times body weight. And if you decided to kneel and squat, and the force that you actually put on your knee is about 8 times body weight. So the example is, let's say if I'm 50 kilo and every step that I make is about 75 kilo, okay? And as compared to a person who is same height as me but weighs 70 kilos, that means the person is 20 kilos more than me but at my same height. The force that he actually put is 105 kilo. So meaning to say 30 kilo more on every step. Okay? So if the 30 kilogram times 6,000 steps that I make in a day.
Wow, okay.
It is 180,000 kg per knee per day. So I used to joke with my patient and say, imagine you have 180,000 ringgit in your bank account every day, it will be so nice. But this is not. This is kg that you actually exert on your knee. And even though our bone, soft tissue, cartilage is a very adaptive tissue, how long more can the body bear if start to age? And when your cartilage start to wear and tear, so that is where the weight will actually contribute to worsening of the pain and in turn will affect the quality of life.
So let's talk about exercise. A lot of us who are overweight or even obese, and in order to, you know, start, you know, losing weight and stuff like that, we embark on exercise regimes, right? So how do you start exercising safely? Because you're overweight now, right? And sometimes you go through some really rigorous exercises in order to lose weight when you are already that heavy, right? And that can be, I mean, I cannot imagine the stress, you know, on the knees. Where else is affected? What about the hips? Where else?
You're right. We're just talking about knee. How about our hips, our ankle, our spine? And being obese will actually trigger a lot of inflammation in your body. And those kind of inflammation will also trigger a lot of soft tissue illnesses like your, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome, your plantar fasciitis, you know, those are the things. So what are the exercises that they can actually do? And it basically, it's like they need to exercise to lose weight, but they are heavy. And when they do exercise, it might make the joint and bone, you know, worse. So what can I do? I need you, you need me. So those kind of situations. So usually I will tell my patient, you start with something light. Okay. For example, if they are in pain, once they have find out the exact problem, then if the joint is in reduced range, then probably they probably have to go through therapy, you know, physiotherapy to gain that range of movement of the joint first. Okay. Once that is better, then probably the next step will be do something that is actually not painful. Okay. The water sports is actually very good, meaning you swim, there is not much of force to your joint, and in water you have a bit of resistance, so you actually move your muscle a bit more. So swimming is actually one of the best way to lose weight. And for patients who tell me, and it includes myself, that I can't swim, is to walk in the water, right? You just walk a few laps, okay? You actually do exercises. So that is water sports. Okay. How about other sports like, you know, low impact biking, be it stationary or the one that you can actually take out and drive. So stationary bike is actually very good. Not only improve on your cardio, it also will strengthen your knee muscle. But the rule of thumb is any exercises that you do, if it's painful, stop. Because our knee consists of many joints. It could be the front of the knee, which we call a patellofemoral joint, who is painful. So when you move and when you cycle, you might feel it more painful, even though it's not weight bearing. Other exercises, strength training, resistance training. It's okay to take a mini band, a small little yoga ball, or even 1 to 2 kg of weight to train your upper and lower body. So, but it should be under the guidance of therapy or someone that you actually, a trainer, so that you can actually start from something low. Walking is actually very good. Okay. Walking, I used to tell my patient, walking, if you have a smartwatch, look at your steps that you make, you should at least achieve about 6,000 steps a day, right? That's where I tell the grandmother. So if you're younger than a grandmother, you should make more than 6,000 steps a day. So that is usually, I say, I tell 6,000 to a grandmother. So I think you should be better than a grandmother.
I'm so embarrassed right now. Okay. We'll come back and find out more about the fact that, you know, we have younger and younger people who are overweight now. What are the consequences as they grow old? Coming up next, if you have a question for Dr. Loke, give us a call. It's 7732900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's Health and Living. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Dr. Lok Yan Hui, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center, on the line with me. We are discussing the link between your weight and musculoskeletal problems. If you have a question for her, give us a call. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or just tweet us on BFM Radio. We've gone through quite a lot, Dr. Lok. You spoke about how you need to look at, you know, I asked you the best way to measure weight, you say it's much more than BMI, actually. It is much more than what you see on your scale when you stand on it, because it all depends on how much fat you have, how much muscle you have, how much water you have, and also your bone density is very important. So, and it's basically what you're trying to say, it's the quality of your weight that really matters than anything else. So let's talk about younger people. Now, younger people, weight gain amongst children all the way up to younger and young adults is a worrying trend today. What do you think is the impact of this sort of obesity or obesity of excess weight in a child's developing musculoskeletal system? We'll start with the child first, and then we go on to younger adults. What are your thoughts?
All right. I do see patients who is obese when they're young. They are not. Probably the parents only bring them when they have joint pain. Excuse me. And there are certain diseases who is actually directly related to weight. So if you have heard about this disease called Brown disease. Brown disease is a medical term we call genu varum, meaning your knee joint is in O shape, like a bowl shape. And if you see genu varum, Brown disease in children, they are like 1, 2, 3 years old, and they are all obese. Okay, so if you ask the parents, what do you feed them? Oh, they don't like to eat rice. They eat a lot of fast food. So those are the common scenario that actually the parents will give you. So those are the young. And another stage that weight will be related to the problems will be when they are about 10 to 12 years old. There is a condition called slip upper femoral epiphysis, in which the growth plate from the femur actually slip away from the femoral head due to the weight. So in that kind of situation, if it's early, then we can actually protect the weight bearing. And if it's late, then we've got to go in to do the surgery to prevent further slip of the femur. So those are the things that it's the grandmother kind of intention of feeding the child. But what is more important is that we should actually train them and guide them into choosing the correct food and nutrition when they are young. Because the children see what we eat. So if we eat something that's not very nice, or if we start with all this fast food, the children learn from us. So I think it starts from the family, like, you know, how our parents eat, and it will actually lead to how our children will actually grow up too. So when they become obese, so usually you don't have much problem, because when you are children or you are teenagers, your metabolism is so good. You probably have gone through it that, oh, in 2 days' time, I have a party. So I just not eat for 2 days, and I am okay to wear a very nice and tight dress to go to a party. But it doesn't hold true anymore when you are 30 and 40s and you are blaming the metabolism for having said so. I mean, being so. It's actually true. When you age, the metabolism actually reduces.
Yeah.
So when a patient come to see me when they are young, mostly about 30 to 40 years old, and the usual complaint will be back pain or knee pain or heel pain and all that. And 99% of them are overweight.
Okay. We'll come back and talk more about the children. Meanwhile, we have a question. Surya, you have a question for Dr. Lok.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Hello, Dr. Lok.
Hi.
I'm a 57-year-old person who has already stopped blaming my metabolism. I've kind of realized that, you know, I've got to work with whatever I have. So I'm changing, but very, very slowly. My question is, I'm carrying a sort of old injury, which I'm doing active rehab for at a physio. Correct me if I've got the terms wrong. I can do flexion of the right knee quite aggressively. I mean, when I say aggressively, I mean correctly. But I have a problem with, extension, right? When you push it out, and then when you try and kneel, it's flexion. I have issues with flexion. So they're trying to work on that particular thing. The critical thing, my question is, sorry if it's a bit convoluted. I like to do a lot of HIIT work, high intensity interval training. I try and keep it short but nasty. I think that's the phraseology. And I use the kettlebell. So to cut everything short, I just want to know, am I doing the right thing? I'm not doing jumping squats with kettlebells and dynamic, side lunge changes, rapid movements. I'm trying to keep myself static, but I'm trying to work myself. Am I doing the right thing, or am I setting myself up for an injury? Thank you, doctor.
Thank you very much, Surya.
Okay.
Over to you, Dr. Luke.
Thank you for the question.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. His question is, he's actually trying to, he had an old injury. And he trying to improve on the range of movement of his flexion and extension. So if we talk about flexion and extension, which one is actually more important? I would want the patient to have 0 degree extension, meaning you can actually straighten your knee fully, and you should at least achieve 90 to 100 degree of flexion. Okay. A normal range of movement, probably you can bend your knee all the way up to 150 and 160. That's normal range of movement. But most of the time, we don't need that. We only use the 150 and 160 degree range of movement when you need to squat, right? I was talking about squat, right? How much weight and force that you actually put on your knee when you squat, right? Even today, you can squat. Well, try to advise my patient, don't squat. Okay, try your best not to squat because you are going to exert 8 times body weight on your knee joint. All right. So if he's already doing physiotherapy to gain good extension and considerable amount of flexion, I think that's very good. What he's doing now is those exercises, they call HIIT, which is high intensity training exercises, to train his cardio. At the same time, he is also using that to get the strength of the muscle. Because HIIT basically is cardio and burn fat. If you are already lean enough, you really don't have to burn that amount of fat, right? But if you want to train muscle, then you just focus on strength training and train your muscle. That means you don't mix your cardio and your together will be like, crazy. So high impact activity for him, he said that he is actually not doing a lot of jumping. He's just training his muscle. If just training his muscle is okay, meaning when you have very good muscle bulk, you actually reduces the stress to the joint. So in which I think he is actually doing quite well, but just that he should probably separate them.
Okay.
HIIT and also strength training.
That's kettlebell workouts you're talking about.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
All right. Thanks for that question, Surya. We have another question here. Hi, Doc. My wife has been taking glucosamine for a very long time for weakness in her legs when climbing up or down the stairs. Is it okay to take it in the long term? Any adverse effects for taking it for a long time? Because she's afraid to stop in case her legs get worse.
All right, glucosamine sulfate. Okay, so when the patient come to me with knee pain, we are saying about moderate arthritis. All right, and we're not saying about severe arthritis, because if it's severe arthritis, then the treatment is totally different. Right, so I'm assuming that his wife has a mild to moderate arthritis, probably moderate if he has problem with going up and down steps. So a few things that I can actually advise the wife will be, number one is the weight. Because our clinical practice guideline in Malaysia of treating osteoarthritis, the first guideline says to lose weight means you reduce the load to your body, right? Because that is the only thing which is modifiable in which you can do. You can't change the structure of your joint. You can't change you being getting older and age, but weight you can change. So number two, I usually would tell them, you try to avoid high impact activity like run, jump, new squat, up, down, step, up, down, if you can. And number three, train your muscle very well, because if your muscle is very strong, it reduces the stress to the joint. Number four, I'll tell them, you try and see whether you can take some disease modifying drugs like glucosamine sulfate, right? So glucosamine sulfate is supplements. You can't even claim it in most of the insurance agent. Under insurance policy, it's something that we call vitamins. Vitamin means you take it, but there's not much of side effects. And it's only be cautious in those who have a bit of a raised sugar, that kind of thing. But other than that, it's okay. And it recommended by the company of glucosamine sulfate, you take about 3 to 6 months to see result, or more than a year to change the structure. And you can actually take it for very long. But you can actually stop, meaning drug holiday. Like, you know, I just feel like stopping the drug for a while. It's okay. You stop, but when you restart again. But when you start continuously for 3 to 6 months to see the effects again. So there's actually no side effects. But if you're taking glucosamine sulfate for muscle weakness, that is not right. Because muscle weakness is when your muscle is not strong. And the reason is, I explained just now, that when you go up and down steps, you need about 3 times body weight. That's why you can't do it. So how do you train your muscle? So that will be the thing that she actually need to focus on. Train your quadriceps muscle and your hamstring muscle of the knee. Because when you walk, you're actually just, you know, you're using the whole body muscle. Then why do we see people in the gym taking the dumbbell just to train the biceps? And why don't they think, you know, those are the things that we actually do to focus on training the quad muscle. So I would advise probably it's okay to take glucosamine sulfate for long, even years. The study have done all the way up to 10 years and more. But training muscle probably will be more helpful. Okay. And of course, the fifth thing that I would tell the patient is that if it's moderate, probably we can try some injections of hyaluronic acid. That probably will help to reduce the rate of deterioration. And hopefully, even may not need to do any surgery at all. But even having said so, surgery, I mean, knee replacement is not that scary after all. My father had done a knee replacement surgery. I have done about 2 to 3 times injection for him over the past 10 years. It just deteriorated. And it's so sad to see that, you know, when I bring him to travel, he can't even walk. And when my sister bring him to Disneyland in Hong Kong, my mother have to use a wheelchair. So I think it's and you know that there's something that you can be done, in which is just a knee replacement surgery for a severe stage of arthritis. We've done the surgery for him and he walked the next day and he's driving a motorbike at 6 weeks.
Fantastic.
So it's actually, it's not very, you know, it's, you know, when the time comes, like, you know, depending on which stage are you, the doctor will advise you accordingly. What is the next thing to do? And what is the risk? And is that the right choice of treatment or is not the right choice of treatment? But most of the time when the patient come to us, it's already very late. And they are actually afraid to see a doctor because they're afraid that the doctor will tell the patient that you need surgery.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is it's much more than glucosamine. You need to look at your weight.
Correct.
You need to train the muscles. There's a lot more that goes into it in the management of joint issues, right? Because there's so much that supports the joint, is what you're saying.
You're right.
Okay, fantastic. You're right. So we'll come back after the market update and continue this discussion on weight gain in children. I'm very worried because, you know, if already your musculoskeletal system is going to be stressed when you're in the formative or growing years, what does this mean for children as they become adults? That's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. If you have just joined us, it's our Health and Living segment. Dr. Lok Yan Hui on the line with me, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center. We're discussing the link between weight and your musculoskeletal system. And if you have a question for us, the number to call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's talk about children. Dr. Lok, are you concerned about them? I mean, they're young. They've already got all this weight on them, you know, sitting on their musculoskeletal system to cope with. What do you think childhood obesity or even excessive weight on a child's developing musculoskeletal system, what does this mean? Or what are the long-term consequences for these children when they grow up?
Okay. It's a very interesting fact to actually know about this statement. Okay. This statement actually say that the heavier a person is, the stronger the bone is. The lighter a person is, the more reduced the bone density is. It's basically just revert to another way of saying it is the brain grow by use. So meaning a person who always go and play mahjong is very good in calculation, and or compared to a person who always only watch television. So it means that when you have body weight who is heavy, it means that your bone is actually stronger. So this is a statement. So then how, then it, and then if you see that the individual who is light, they tend to have fracture because the density is actually lower. So then how do we explain this? And why is weight gain good then? Or is it good for the bone? Is it good for the bone? But
we're talking about weight gain and the stress on the musculoskeletal system. At the same time, you're talking about weight-bearing exercises.
Correct.
So what is it?
correct. So basically, for children, it is the way of being obese, and they have a lot of fat, you know, adipose tissue. So, you know, this fat cell, they're actually pro-inflammatory mediators. They have cytokines, interleukin-1, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor. All that actually will impact on the way the bone mineralizes. So in children, they're obese, you know, start from very young. Okay, so the mineralization of the bone starts to be affected since very young. So when they grow older, it will somehow affect them in the sense that, you know, that the quality of bone might not be as good, right? So this is the thing. And we actually have known that those who are obese, children especially, and the risk of fracture is actually higher due to mineralization problem and also poor balance. You know, when you're heavy, you can't balance very well. So, and your fat is more than your muscle. So it will have a greater risk of injury, and the force that forced upon it, like 10 kilo versus the 30 kilo who fall on the forearm, 30 kilo will actually have more injury, and the combination of the fracture will be even more.
So it goes back to the quality of your weight again. And in children, what you're saying is the bone mineralization, that density is messed up in a big way.
Correct. Because you're right.
You did say in the third and fourth decade, it starts to decline.
Sure.
As we for all of us who grew up with a healthy weight, but this is already affected as a child.
Correct.
And then that has a knock-on effect later on. Okay, so the whole quality is affected, like the muscles are affected.
Yes.
And because of excess fat. Okay, so at a very young age. Okay, so then what about for orthopedic surgical procedures? When you have excess body weight, is that a challenge for you when you have to conduct surgery, for an example?
You are right. And if a person who is obese who come for surgery, and obesity, not only, you know, you look obese, but when you actually take their blood, check their blood pressure, you can actually see that they actually have a lot of hidden problems. When you ask them whether they have any medical problems, they say no. When you actually check, they have high blood pressure, they have diabetic, and probably some might have heart disease. So those who go through surgery will have a multidiscipline approach, meaning I got to refer to a physician and also a cardiologist to have a better pre-op assessment. And those who are obese, when we perform the surgery, the surgery will be longer, the incision will be bigger, and most of the time, the minimally invasive surgery will probably struggle a bit. You might have to open up a bit bigger. So that would in turn cause delay in wound healing. And a bigger incision means more blood loss. Longer surgery means more risk of blood clot and a longer position in one posture, and probably will have other problems like nerve compression and all that. So generally, the challenge of doing surgery is higher in obese people. And I've seen those who are morbidly obese can't even go through a scan machine, you know, that MRI scan or even CT scan or even operative table. They just need two tables. So, no, those are the things. So, the risk of anesthetic complication is high. They have short neck. So, they are a lot more. And probably they need to be admitted to ICU for that sort. So longer hospital stay also mean that they will have a lot more other infection, like hospital acquired infection. So that is the problem about being obese or overweight. And especially more for us orthopedic surgeon, when we replace a joint like hip or knee, the risk of dislocation is higher in the hip, in obese, and the risk of, we say, hardware failure is higher in obese. So probably an implant of a knee can last you a good 25 to 30 years, but if you're obese and the weight that exert upon the knee will be more, probably you shouldn't, it will not last you 25, 30 years, probably it's like almost 15, 20 years. So some surgeon actually even tell patient you reduce weight first before you come for surgery. But most of the time, they are so much in pain. They, even though the outcome is actually very good, but just that it's also a long-term thing that, you know, after the joint replacement, if your weight is ideal, you will enjoy a better quality of life. Yeah.
At some point, do you suggest bariatric surgery, for an example, before anything else, because the weight is actually more a problem than, you know, the joint issue?
Yes. Those who are severely obese and with sleep apnea, means they can't breathe when they sleep, and those severe conditions, I will refer to my surgical counterpart for bariatric surgery.
Yeah, because that might solve problems faster rather than going through the orthopedic route, isn't it?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
We have another question here from Tony. Tony, how are you today?
Yeah, hi, doctor. Very quickly, just to give you a brief description of my physique. I'm about 5'11", almost 12, almost 6. Weight is about 104 kilos when I had this injury. I'm now about 90. Now, what happened was I went for a short trip. I was descending some steps, and I could hear a snap on my right knee, and I couldn't put any weight on it. And because I was away on a short trip, I decided to see a traditional a massage therapist instead of going to the hospital in this country where hospitals are not renowned to be very reliable. Anyway, long story short, he did some work on the knee and I could walk again. And there was slight discomfort after that. That generated into equal effect on my left knee because I started putting more weight on my left knee. Yeah. And then I came back and I saw a sports therapist, and he diagnosed it as kind of like a dead muscle. He worked on it, and I went through some therapy, including swimming and all, and that was fine. However, that pain has come and gone. My question to you is, you're describing a lot of joint damage. So for joint damage, does the pain come and go where you have stretch of days where there's no pain at all? I also read somewhere of a misdiagnosed case where there was swelling of tissues around, and the doctors missed that swelling and couldn't identify that, and the pain come and goes. So those are my two questions. By the way, I'm in my 50s.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Tony, for the question. Traditional healer and Western medicine, we work hand in hand. I mean, in the sense that I don't doubt their treatment. I mean, they don't doubt our treatment. All right. But when you have something, you say injury, when you have an injury, you want to find out what was the problem. Okay. And you heard a sound. Okay. So those are the things that we actually will ask patient when we see. Okay. How do you injure yourself? And do you hear anything? Do you hear a pop sound? Can you walk after that? And so then we will present them for a quick x-ray to make sure that there's no fracture. But if the patient has persistent pain despite physiotherapy, the next thing we actually will ask the patient to do is go for a scan. Let's see what's inside, what went wrong, what is the problem. It's only when you know the exact problem, then you treat. So let's say if you do an MRI scan, and there are so many structures in the knee joint. Is it meniscus? Is it a cruciate ligament? Is it a collateral ligament? Is it a cartilage injury? Or, you know, you're so many things and structures in the knee joint, and you don't know what is that. So I will probably advise Tony that he can actually go for a scan and see what is the problem. And it is the response of your body trying to repair and heal. They try very best to heal. That's how you feel. My pain come and go. Okay. And when you have pain, you reduce your movement. You probably be a bit good, but you probably would think that my injury has healed. Then you put a bit more force and it start to occur again. So it's quite normal because your body will try to heal, but the inflammation is too much. It just can't heal. So I would advise him probably just go for a scan to exactly identify what is the problem. And regarding the misdiagnosed part of regarding the swelling, all right, swelling is actually a response. If I understand him correctly, probably it's the joint swelling. So meaning to say there is some inflammation in which the joint will show you symptoms of swelling, warm, reduced range of movement, and difficulty to walk. So those kind of swelling in which it come and go. So the classic example is those who has asthma. They don't get attacked every day, but they will get attacked when they have stimulus. So the same goes to your joint. If you use your joint a bit more today, you probably will feel it more. But if you rest your joint today, probably you don't feel so much. So I will advise Tony probably go for a scan to find out exactly what's the problem.
Right. And then take it from there as to what the problem really is. Okay, all right. You know, you see a lot of patients walking in through your door today. What would you say is one of the most, common problem that you see amongst people, amongst Malaysians today? I mean, we're not the healthiest bunch of people. Many of us are overweight and even obese. So what are some of the common problems that you see?
Okay, orthopedic. We see every parts of the woman except head and probably your chest. All right. So majority of the patient who comes to see me are knee pain, hip pain, and back pain, and there is a worrying trend. The patients are getting younger and younger. And as for the research, actually say that the risk of the age of arthritis and also the onset of arthritis and the age that needs to go through operation, we say total knee replacement, is as young as 47 years old. So that means if you take so many person, how many age, and then 70, 60, then you take a mean, actually it's about 40 over years old.
What was the mean What was the mean?
Correct.
Before? Do we know?
Okay. Yeah, the mean before probably is about 55, if I remember it correctly. So it is multifactorial, meaning to say those days you don't see doctors. You go for here and go. The access to healthcare is actually not so easy. And nowadays with so many, it's easier access, and the children are the one who bring the parents to come and see a doctor. And those who are aware, when they read a bit more, they come and see a doctor. And with the convenience of having MRI, you actually see it earlier than X-ray. So the earlier you see a doctor, the easier will be the job. Meaning you probably can avoid those kind of big surgery in the future. Because if you come early, that means the damage probably is just probably stage 1 and stage 2. So, but if you come and we see the doctor late, it will be probably stage 4. And stage 4 is, and then that's what some patient will say, that my friend went for an injection, it doesn't work. So I don't want to go for injection because it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Because if it's stage 4, the treatment is totally different. It's not injection. So those are the things that we as a doctor, not only we treat, we have to educate them and giving information and telling them how to do. And if they are overweight, then we probably have to tell them that weight, you probably have to reduce your weight. So it's easy to say to reduce weight, then how to do it, those kind of things. So I will set a goal for them. You try and see whether you can reduce 5% of your body weight first. Don't be told so over genius, like, I want to lose 10 kg. That's very, very, very hard to achieve. So the study actually showed that you just have to reduce 4 kg. You can reduce the rate of deterioration of osteoarthritis by 50%.
Wow. Okay.
So just set a small goal. And the moment when you see you moving somewhere, you will really get motivated. You continue to go on.
Okay. So 4 kilos, right?
Yes, 4 kilos.
All right, okay. Would you have a message for us on body weight and our musculoskeletal system? Would you have a message? Would you have a message for us?
Okay. I would say that start now. Look at the plate, whatever food that you actually put inside your mouth. And exercise is important. But we all know that very hard just by doing exercise and you reduce your weight. You've got to take care of what you eat. And you've got to take balanced meal. I actually read a book on Malaysian diet. It's really full of variety and is carbohydrates, heavily loaded with carbohydrates. And the education of our public as in what are the food to eat is actually very important. And all, like what I shared before, you just have to reduce the weight and your body will thank you for reducing the burden, and you will have less chances of visiting the doctors because the risk of diabetic, hypertension, heart disease, cholesterol are all low. So my advice is look into the plate and do something about it.
Thank you very
much. Before it becomes too heavy.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, you know, you've done very well yourself. I mean, you've lost 10 kilos yourself. I mean, you should have a look at Dr. Lok. She looks absolutely wonderful. I wish I had your arms. But,
thank you.
You know, but thank you. How long was that journey for you, losing 10 kilos and getting really fit?
About six months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just telling Mira that it's all in the mind, whether you want to do it or you don't want to do it. Yeah, if you want to do it, you will do it.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Lok Yan Hui, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center, speaking to us about our weight and our musculoskeletal system on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.